for children ministry and the nursery. The nursery's in the back. Cry room is open. Children ministry is happening today. Mike Barnes, man, yeah, I'm just undone too right now. A little difficult. You know, Mike was up here. He had the staff, this rod, stick, club, whatever you want to call it, and in worship, and he had it raised above his head, man. And it just the word that goes with that is the staff of Moses. When he held it up in victory, he held it up when the Amalekites and the Israelites were fighting one another, and Aaron and Hur had went up to on top of the mountain with Moses, and every time he held that up, there was victory, and the Israelites were defeating the Amalekites. But when he would grow weary and his arms would start to go down, all of a sudden the Amalekites would win. And, you know, in our victory, man, or in our worship, there's victory. And I just saw that, you know, when we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, when we keep our hands lifted in praise, when we keep that rod of God that brings correction to us and brings love to us and everything, when we just keep it above all else, victory happens. And, you know, and even in then, Moses had Aaron and Hur to pull up a stone for him to sit on and help hold his arms up. And so as we come together corporately today to worship together and celebrate our Jesus together, it's not by being a lone person, but it's by the whole encompassment of the body of Christ that we have our strength, and it's a beautiful thing. So thank you for the vision reminder in that, Mike. Children, be blessed as you go and learn in Jesus' name. So, everybody's 2019 starting off well? Awesome. You know, everybody starts, this is the first service of 2019, and so this kind of kicks off the first Sunday service out of 52 services. And the thing is, the thing I love about being here at Shield of Faith is you never know what next Sunday is going to bring, and you never know what the next Sunday is going to bring, and you never know what the next Sunday is going to bring. And it's just, man, it does my heart so much joy. For those of you who are watching on Facebook, I just say God bless you to the Fowler family and the Melantine family that are in Arizona, the Haynes family, my sister and her family in California, and all those others that are watching. New year, same old, or new year, new season? New season? That's a good thing. Isn't it kind of interesting how when you start to move along in life, things start to wear on you? And it's something about just, maybe it's the celebration of a new year coming in. I don't know. But all of a sudden, it almost feels like a freshness, right? Amen. That's kind of the way we are supposed to be with the Lord. We're supposed to not just wait for a new year to have this freshness, but every day get that fresh feeling like we do in a new year. So like it's once a year, we're going to say, you know, this year I'm going to get in shape. This year I'm going to lose weight. This year I'm going to be nicer than I was before. This year I'm going to love harder than I've ever loved before. Whatever the case may be, you know. And on Facebook you posted, Pastor Randy, you know, what is your thing? And for me it was kind of like, well, before I quit something, I want to remember why I first started. We all need that reason, right? And I take that same kind of concept to serving the Lord. Well, before I grow weary on serving the Lord, before I lay down serving the Lord, if you will, every day of my life, I have to remind myself, why do I serve the Lord? What did God do for me that brought me out of whatever it was I was in? How did he position me in a place where I am not the same that I used to be? And I remind myself on that. And I remind myself on a daily basis, if need be, and sometimes it might be a moment-to-moment situation. Sometimes day might just be absolutely perfect, and the next it's not really. You're going through some test, some trial, and you got to remind yourself, whoa, before I just quit everything and just go back into the world or whatever, why am I still with the Lord? And so in this year, 2019, I just encourage you, man, keep focused on what God would have you do. You know, it's gyms. I remember joining Planet Fitness a couple years ago, and we joined, I think, in January or February, and we went to the gym, and the gym was just jam-packed with people. It didn't matter what time of day you went. There was just people there all the time. But come March, come April, there was a lot more treadmills open. Come May, man, you had your pick. There was no, because that's how kind of we're wired. It's like something sounds good for a moment, and we stick with it, and then all of a sudden we just kind of fizzle out. And the Lord says, be ever filled, right? In Ephesians 5:18, that we're to be ever filled with the Spirit of God. Even tells us that when you're starting to grow weary, it says, first of all, don't grow weary in well-doing, but if you are, stir up the gift that is inside of you. And so these are questions that we need to ask ourselves. How do I get to the point where I stir it up? How do I get to the point where I stay fired up for God? You know, when you're fired up for the Lord, it's not all about you. Sometimes you're the only flame that people in the world will see. You see, it's not just about your own self and your own ministry, but it's about ministering to others. So we just went through Christmas, and we just went through Thanksgiving, right? I love to eat. I've told you guys that before. Food is good. But you know what I love about Thanksgiving and Christmas is I love leftovers. I love having food left over, because that means I don't have to really prepare a whole meal the next day, or maybe the next week or whatever, right? Depending on how much you have left over. And when I look at leftovers, though, I look in the natural realm, but then I look in the spiritual realm, and it's kind of like, you know, we as Christians, we need to be so full of God that we have leftovers, that we have this ability to give out what we have. We just hosted Christmas at our house this past Christmas, and, you know, some people took some things. A lot of stuff was left for us, but it was nice having leftovers that if we were going to give it out, we were freely able to just give out extra stuff. And that's natural, but in the spiritual, it needs to be kind of the same way. Do you have enough Holy Ghost in you to be able to give out to the rest and not be empty yourself? See, what's really cool is that you have enough leftovers for yourself and others so that you can eat the next day and eat the next day. And then, you know, when you cook something that's really, really good and somebody comes up and they're like, man, how did you cook that? That was awesome. I love that. Then all of a sudden you start to share your recipe with them. I take that from the natural to the supernatural. Wow, what is it about you? Why are you happy all the time? Why do you smile in the midst of trials and tribulations? And you start to share the recipe with them. Well, the reason why I am so happy, the reason why I have joy and peace in the midst of this is because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Stephanie and I, we just celebrated 24-year wedding anniversary. And what was really, really cool about this is we went out to dinner that night, on the night of our anniversary, and we were sitting there, and the waitress come up. She said, so hey, anything special bring you guys in today? And I said, yeah, we're celebrating our 24-year wedding anniversary. And she goes, oh, wow, how did you do it? And it was like there wasn't a thought to it. Jesus. I just said, Jesus. And she goes, I never heard that before. You know, and there was another instance that happened right after that, and I shared, you know, well, how did you stay married for so long? Because that doesn't happen so much. And I said, well, we keep the Lord number one in our life. And some people are like, wow, that's cool. I've heard that before. And others are like, wow, I've never heard that before. But what if that one time with that waitress, a seed was planted in this individual that when she gets married later on in her future, she remembers that one couple that was sitting there enjoying their meal together with smiles and laughing and holding hands and asking the Lord to bless their food beforehand. And all of a sudden, she goes, oh, the one thing that kept them together was Jesus. And she looks to her husband or her honey or her fiance and says, maybe we should look at this whole thing about Jesus. Maybe we should try and figure out what they figured out and what you have figured out. And for millions of other people across this world have figured out that when you put God number one in your life, everything else lines up. Yes, sir. That's pretty cool. Yes, sir. I think that's something neat. Amen. To know that, you know, it's not in my strength. Yeah, love has a name. My joy has a name. It's all Jesus. So And talking about, last week, talk about ghost-fed. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Today, we're talking about ghost-fed part two. And one scriptures that came to mind, I only have one listed on your paper, but one that came to mind is Psalms 23, verse 5. And that is the one that says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And I always look at that, and I'm like, Lord, why do you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies? And what does it look like? And one of the things that I gleaned, just for you to start your new year off with, is that when He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that's hope. And then when He anoints our head with oil, that's consecration. He separates us. And when we overflow, that's provision. And so just know that in everything that happens in life, God has your back. He understands what you're going through, but He has given us a way out. He has given us a hope. He's given us a faith. He's given us a truth. He's given us great breakthrough, provision, and He has separated us as different people. John 4, 27 through 38 is the scripture we'll be in today, and I'm starting with, I'm reading out of actually the Message, but it lines up pretty good with New King James. And what it says here in verse 27, and I just want to kind of walk through these scriptures and just kind of lay out what Jesus was talking about and how maybe we see things in the world versus people in the world see things. Just then, His disciples came back, and they were shocked. They couldn't believe He was talking with that kind of woman. I want to stop there for a second. God says that He is a respecter of no person, right? It doesn't matter your background, your socioeconomic background. It doesn't matter your creed, your race, or anything like that. See, Jesus was speaking to a Samaritan. And to the Jews, Samaritans were a no-go. They were Gentiles. They were unclean. They were not consecrated or set apart for the work of God. Just the Jews were. But you see, Jesus came to break the chains. Jesus came to set a new pattern straight. And He was coming on the scene. And so, I think, you ever been around somebody that maybe you were talking to, and all of a sudden somebody else walked up, and they're like, maybe this happens more in high school. You're talking to that person? Like, you ever try to talk to the person that wasn't the cool kid, but all of a sudden some other cool kids walk up and they're like, you're talking to him? You're talking to her? You know, nowadays we call it like bullying and different things like that, but it's a sad situation that our society is in. We come up with so many different things because we may look at them on the outward appearance. See, the Bible says man judges based on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So Jesus wasn't looking at the outward appearance or what the Samaritan woman has done in her life. Matter of fact, He even called her out and said, you've been married, or you've been with five people. You know, you're not even married now, but you've been with five men. But He wasn't holding that against her or anything like that. He was having a conversation with a creation of God. And so, as we continue on and we read through this, we look at this and He says, no one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. I've talked to some individuals and, you know, it's like they don't have a poker face whatsoever, right? You can tell exactly what they're thinking based on how they're looking. Like some of you are looking at me. No, I'm just kidding. but anyways, I mean, you know, it's like, if someone pleased, you can tell how they are. If somebody is disgruntled, you can tell by the look on their face. And so these people, they walked up, these disciples of Jesus Christ walked up, and they probably had a look on their face like, what in the world are you doing? Do you not know what kind of woman this is? Do you not know that she is below us and not elevated to being the chosen people of God? I mean, just whatever they were thinking, but their faces showed that particular thought.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus is trying to correct something here. He's trying to correct this mindset of the religious individual to say, stop it. Y'all have heard the story of the pastor who was dressed up like a homeless person and stood outside the church and came in, and all of a sudden the ushers are going to the homeless person and they're all trying to push this person back, say, no, you can't sit in the front, you got to sit in the back, but way back over here where nobody else is. And they're just trying to, oh man, I hope nobody else sees anything. They don't give them the time of the day. Nobody says hi to them when they walk in. And all of a sudden, they come up and they announce, man, we have a new pastor. I just want you guys to meet him. And they're all waiting. And then the homeless guy walks up and stands up and goes, yeah, I'm the new pastor. I'm in costume today. You've got heard those stories before?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, but it's real.
Yeah.
It is real. Jesus didn't come looking for the perfect individual. Matter of fact, when Jesus came, he was hanging out with the prostitute. He was hanging out with the adulterer. He was hanging out with the tax collector. He was hanging out with fishermen. You know what I mean? He wasn't hanging out with those that had all of the riches and all of the glory. He wasn't hanging out with those that were religious, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the learned ones of the Bible. He wasn't hanging out with them. He was hanging out, rubbing shoulders, breaking bread, and talking to individuals who did not know they could have true freedom in their life. And he came to show that true freedom came through him.
Amen.
And so 2,000 plus years later, he's still trying to show the church that still freedom comes through him. And it's not based on your dress. It's not based on your socioeconomic background. It's not based on your race. It's based on the love of Jesus Christ that lives and dwells with each and every one of us that are spirit-filled, that call Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. That is something that all of us, all the time, need to remember, because you may be the only Jesus that somebody has the opportunity to see or meet in life. You may be the only light in the midst of darkness that somebody will ever see, but you stir up the flame that's within you. You fan the flame so that you can be a light to them, not just yourself. You fan the flame so that you can show them the way in the midst of darkness. You show them that there's a light to get through this tunnel that they're in. You show them the way that they don't have to stay in the valley, but they can go through the valley, as Scripture says. It's a beautiful thing. And he's given it to us free.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 28. The woman, who saw what their faces showed, took the hint and left. In her confusion, she left her water pot. Back in the village, though, she told the people, come and see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah? Jesus was different. This woman was sitting there talking with Jesus. She even knew that he was a Jew and that she was a Samaritan, a Gentile. She already knew this, but he was so kind, so loving, and spoke to her and gave her the time of day, if you will, that even the looks on the faces of the disciples that came that weren't that good still did not sway her from talking about the greatness and the glory and the beauty that was on Jesus Christ.
Yes,
do you see, even in the midst of being around a bunch of individuals that may have pruned lips and a sour look on their face, when you're the light, people will take notice. When you're different than the world, people will take notice. And that's what Jesus is saying here. This is what he's showing. When you don't act the same way that the world acts, people take notice. And in that, they will then talk about you. And they'll talk about you and say, man, I don't know what it is about this lady. I don't know what it is about this guy. But there's something about them. And then it may even spur them to the point where they say, what is it about them? Where they come to you and they go, what is it about you? Why are you different? How have you been married 24 years? Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. Verse 30. And they went out to see for themselves. So all the people that she went to talk to, they went out to see for themselves. Wow, who is this guy? This is now people who weren't believers becoming believers, inviting other people to come and see and believe.
Amen.
I don't know if you just heard what I said.
Yes,
This was about a person who did not believe in Jesus, talked with Jesus, became a believer in Jesus, went then and became a messenger or an evangelist herself, told other people about Jesus, and those people came to see what it was all about. Amen. You ever felt like you've told everybody in your family and everybody you've met about, come to church and come see what's going on and come be with a group of believers, and it's like everybody like knocks you down and says no? We can't grow weary in that. We have got to be a culture of inviting. We have got to be a culture that says, you know what? I'm not going to just do me again today. It's not just about me today. I'm closing in some of the things that I've already reiterated because I think it's very important that as we go into this new year, this new season, this new time, that we keep some things at the forefront of our mind. And they went out to see for themselves. Verse 31, in the meantime, the disciples pressed him, Rabbi, teacher, eat. Eat. You see, the disciples left him to go into town to get some food. And they said, eat. Aren't you going to eat? And he told them, and here you go. Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Now hold on a minute. Jesus Christ told them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And I could see the disciples' faces at that point in time going, where is he keeping it under his tunic? Where is it at? You got food to eat? Where have you been hiding it? We just left and went into a town and got food. We had to deal with those Gentile people and stuff, and you got food to eat already? Why didn't you share with us, Jesus? You're always preaching, be good and kind to others. Why didn't you share with us? And he's going, nah, man, you've lost your mind. You don't know what I'm talking about. These disciples were fellowshipping with Jesus, yes or no? They were with him. Amen. But they still couldn't see the fullness of what Jesus was trying to show them in life. They still weren't having their eyes open to the bigger picture. You see, people are stirred to eat for many different reasons. People are stirred to eat because they're hungry. Natural? Supernatural. They're stirred to eat because they're hungry. Natural? Supernatural. My body, you know, they say your stomach is the second brain. Have you guys ever heard that? Scientific study shows that your brain, your stomach and your brain are connected. And your stomach may feel full before it ever gets to your brain to tell you to quit eating. But your second brain is what they call your stomach or your digestive system in a whole. And so it's real easy for my brain to go and my stomach to go, I'm hungry naturally, I want to eat. But what is it in our life that says, man, I'm hungry spiritually? I'm hungry supernaturally. Jesus says, I have food that you know nothing about. You don't know about this food. You know, the disciples weren't filled with the Ghost. They weren't filled with the Spirit of God right then. Right? They hadn't received yet. They didn't know. But we are different. We are different. We have been filled. And so we have to walk through life thinking, how do I get ever filled? People eat because they're bored. You've been bored before? When's the last time you ever picked up your Bible to read it when you were bored? Most of the time we click on the TV to watch something when we're bored. People eat because they're stressed. When is the last time you went to the Lord in your stress and angst and anxiety and try to get fed from God instead of fed from natural food? You know, they call all of your greasy stuff comfort food. Man, that stuff tastes good. They call it comfort food, but it kills you. But Jesus has comfort food that we do know about, and it's called the Word of God. And man, could you imagine if you feasted on that table that's prepared before you in the presence of your enemies? Can you imagine if you partook of, man, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ? A beautiful thing. People eat because something looks good or smells good. You know, people go from church to church building, not body, but church to church building because this church looks better than that church on the outside. Doesn't even matter about the meat on the inside or the fellowship that they can get, but they go based on the appearance of the church building versus anything else.
Yes, sir.
I just throw this stuff out for us all to just kind of feast on right now. Just kind of think about. Those that are listening, just think about these things. Because it's not about the outward appearance always. There's an inward appearance that is, or an inward person that is so much better. You ever walk out of a store, like I'm trying to think of like last time, I was over at Kohl's and I walked out of Kohl's and then all of a sudden it was like Bennigan's and that other restaurant, I can't think of the name. What?
Harvey's.
There was like some sort of grilled smell coming out from those things across the street. And all of a sudden, I wasn't hungry, but I was hungry. You know what I mean? It's like all of a sudden, it was like I could not believe the smell that was coming from those places. It was satisfying. But you know what? Today in worship, I am way more satisfied in the worship that we partook of than I will ever be of smelling the grilled steak coming from a family barbecue or something. I mean, it can't be explained, the feeling that takes place. F-E-E-L-I-N-G feeling and the F-I-L-L-I-N-G feeling. Are you with me? It's different. And I can't put words to it. It's like trying to tell God thank you. Well, I just don't think thank you is good enough. You know? So you tell him, thank you, Lord. But it's like when I get in the presence of other believers, you guys and gals, complete me with your presence. Because your worship I feed on. When the worship team is singing and I hear you guys behind me singing, it fills me up because I know that I am not alone. I know that I am with other people that hold God as close as I do. That strengthens me because there's a lot of things that happen in life, and if you feel like a lone soldier, you can get worn out, man, and beat up. But I know that I am never alone because my God said he'll never leave me or forsake me. And I know that if I come into any issue, whatever it may be, or if I need help with something, I can reach out to other individuals because I've got a whole army of believers that I believe have my back as we have one another's back. That's called community. And we have a strong community here. But I like to build things stronger than they are. Let's fortify it even more. And so we come together and we keep growing. We also eat because we are depressed. You know, that comfort food element. I'm depressed, so I'm going to eat. Naturally, the mind, when somebody deals with depression, naturally the mind wants to keep you away from the things that are good. It is weird. It is weird how it works, but things that would be good and beneficial and helpful for you, your mind tells your body, I just don't have the motivation to get up and do it.
Come on.
But when you do it through God and you just bring a little motivation in there, I would tell you this, if you're feeling down and depressed, turn on your most favorite worship music.
Yes, sir.
And blast it. Turn it all the way up, man. Make the window shake and just get stupid silly and sing along with it. Jump up and down and dance and see how long that depression will last. You will dance yourself and worship yourself out of that depression. The issue is getting yourself to turn that music on. Right? But try it next time. Say, oh, I heard Mike say that I should turn some music on. You know what? We may not want to get up and turn the music on at home, but we do know we have to pay bills, so we are going to drive to work. Turn that radio up. Turn on a good Christian music. Turn it up and sing and keep one eye open so you can see the road and one hand on the wheel, but just worship your God and don't care what anybody is thinking or saying when they pull up next to you. Amen. Laughing. Roll your window down and say, well, some of this is Jesus.
Hey.
It's Jesus. I feel good. Even though I don't want to go to work. sometimes we do things when we don't want to because we have to. I'm telling you, we need to take the kind of mindset that we have to get out of bed when we're depressed. We have to put worship first and foremost. We have to get in the Word. You need to have a have-to mentality when you're feeling down in the kingdom of God, because He will take you out of that misery that you're in. He doesn't want you to be there. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you can be miserable. Jesus did not die on the cross so that you could be miserable. Another reason we eat based on our emotions and the happenings of the day. Like I said, it was good when I woke up, man, but on the way to work, I got a speeding ticket. I punched into work late. When I punched into work late, the boss spoke to me because I was late. Now I'm going to on the verge of being suspended from work. All of a sudden, it goes boom, ba-boom, 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 and we allow one moment to define our whole day. And we need to turn that around and not allow just one single moment. So we have one bad moment, and then our statement is, the day is horrible, the day is bad. Stop. It's just a moment in time, a moment of your life. That doesn't define your whole day. Your whole day that cannot be changed is you are a child of God. That whole day is you are a son or daughter of God. That whole day is you are more than a conqueror, and in this trial, He'll deliver you out. No matter how you feel, no matter what's going on, the truth is the truth, and knowing the truth will what? Set you or make you free. Amen?
Amen.
All right. This is the Word. This is the Word at work. This is what we have to do. Make the Word work in our lives. Because it's just beautiful instructions that lay out for us. And so we go on. The disciples were puzzled. Who could have brought Him food? That was verse 33. And so verse 34, Jesus says, the food that keeps me going is that, here it is, I do the will of the One who sent me, finishing the work He started. So we know that doing the will of God is something that fills us. That is something to eat on. Refer to last week's message. But in the same place, working along, and what were we called to do? Every single believer was called to make Jesus famous. Simply put, every believer, go to all the nations, baptizing him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples. That's what we've all been called to do. Life in 2019, pretty busy. It's a time that like I've never seen before in my life. I'm sure you guys are with me. There's so many things going on that would have someone guessing and wondering what the next day looks like in this country that we live in. But it still doesn't change the fact of who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Make Jesus famous. You want to be filled? You want to have food, spiritual food to eat, the kind of food that Jesus ate of? If you want to be filled like that, do the will of the Father. Do the will of the One who has sent you. Not only did He call us, He sent us. And in that sending, it's not a heavy. It's the thing where we just keep our eyes open. I got to share this. I got it in my notes somewhere. But this is me. This is me, and I'm sure a lot of you. I'll get to it when I come to it. All right, moving on. So there's a word that I wanted to talk to you guys about, and it's called fulfilled. Fulfilled means fully developed in one's ability to do something. When we're talking about being filled with God, I want to be fulfilled to the point where I have the ability in what I've been called to do. I don't want to run from it. I don't want to. Now, my mind says run, right? And my heart is saying something completely different. My heart is saying, you know what you should do. You know, go ahead and get out there. But my mind is saying, no, I don't want to. It's inconvenient. And it's scary. And I don't really want to talk to that person. And I'm intimidated or whatever the case may be. But the only way to be fulfilled in the Word is to do what God has said. And words that go along with that are satisfied. Are you satisfied in life? Are you satisfied in your walk with God? Are you content with who you are and how you handle the things of the Lord? Are you pleased? Are you happy? Are you cheerful? These are all synonyms to fulfilled. Are you glad? Are you unworried about your walk with the Lord? And are you at peace? Did you know a synonym to fulfilled is at peace? See, when you're fulfilled in the Word of God and you're filled with the Spirit of God, isn't one of the fruit of that peace?
Yeah.
Right? Fulfillment and peace are one and the same. And so verse 35 says, as you look around right now, wouldn't you say that it is about 4 months' time and it will be harvest? And Jesus says, well, I'm telling you, open your eyes and take a good look at what is right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe and it is harvest time. This is what I wanted to allude to a second ago and I couldn't find it, but I found it now. We're always looking for the opportune time. We're always, maybe it's just me, I don't know if it's you, I just want to talk real. We're always talking to ourselves within our head going, I don't think they would accept Jesus Christ as Lord, so I'm not even going to talk to them about him. They don't really look like they're ready to talk about Jesus right now, so I'm not going to talk to them about it. Am I the only one that's ever done that?
No.
Right? We're always looking for the opportune time, but in God's Word it says that the harvest is ripe and ready right now in the Samaritan field, in the world, if you will. It's ready right now. All we have to do is what Jesus said. Open your eyes. See, a lot of times we're looking at people with human eyes instead of the eyes of God. Matter of fact, there's an individual I thought to myself, in my own thought, I thought, you know what? This individual's pretty hard. He'll probably never come to the Lord. And what happened? He came to the Lord. How does that happen? And not only did he come to the Lord, he's strong in the Lord. And it's a blessing. And so I've learned because of situations like that, don't ever judge a book by a cover, because I'm sure there was at one time somebody said the very same thing about me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that guy, he'll never come to the Lord. Yes, I remember when Pastor and my brother-in-law were praying for me, probably praying for me for a specific reason, and my brother-in-law was probably saying, he'll probably never come to the Lord. I don't know, but anyways, not only did I come, I got hit so hard I can't see straight, still to this day. 36, the harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay. He's gathering in the grain that's ripe for eternal life, and it's right now. Now the sower is arm in arm with the harvester, triumphant. Verse 37, that's the truth of the saying. This one sows, and this one harvests. Verse 38, here you go. I sent you to harvest a field. I love this. I love this. I sent you to harvest a field you never worked. Without lifting a finger, you have walked in on a field worked long and hard by others.
Good.
And I looked at that and I went, wow. The world worked me over long and hard. And I was ready to be harvested. I was ready to be harvested. I had so much world in me that had worked me over so hard that I didn't know if there was even a God. I was bitter. I was jealous. I was mean. I had all kinds of issues that I couldn't get over or work through. I had unforgiveness. I had been worked over by the world for 34 years. I was ripe for the harvest, though. I had been plowed and plowed and plowed. I just needed somebody to come along and say, why don't you come to this church? And I walked through the door and haven't been the same ever since, because I was ready. The thing is there's a whole world out there that has been worked over long and hard by a bunch of other people in the world, and they are ready to be harvested. We just have to have our eyes open and the boldness to speak out. God loves you, and so do I. Can I tell you about him? Look for opportunities. 2019, look for opportunities. Because I think, you know, one of the most filled things or the biggest thing that I eat on is leading somebody to the Lord. I don't know if any of you have ever led anybody to the Lord, but you need to know that you all are ministers, and it's not a pastor's job to lead people to the Lord. It is the body of Christ. It is all ministers. 2 Corinthians 5:18, you all have a ministry of reconciling those to Christ that don't know Christ. That is all of our mandate. You lead somebody to the Lord. If you want to feel like you're on cloud nine and full and filled to the brim, lead somebody to the Lord and see how your life gets fired up. And then disciple them and see what changes take place in their life. It is an exciting adventure. It is so cool to see God's hand at work in those things. The world has trampled on the ground of humanity long enough for humanity to want a Savior. These are things that you need to leave today with, and I'm closing in these. We'll be done in a sec. You are the only Jesus that people may see. I said it again, but it's worth saying once more. This year in 2019, I encourage and challenge everyone here to reach out to people and love the unlovable. And again, I go back to fan the flame that's inside of you, because you are the only light someone who may ever see in their darkness. Jesus left the 99. We know the story. He left the 99 to go for the one. The 99 were saved, my friends. The one was lost. In 2019, look for that one. One. If 100 people led 100 people to the Lord, the next time would be 200 people. The next time would be 400 people. The next time would be 800 people. You ever listen to those 99.7 or 89.1 things when they're doing the telethon? They're saying, you know, send in your money to help us keep the radio station going. You ever listen to those and have the mindset? It's like, cool, somebody sent money in. Cool, somebody sent money in. Cool, somebody. We're always on this mindset of looking at other people maybe doing it, but never ourselves. What if nobody ever took the step and it was to you to take the step? And so I think every one of us have the ability and should be challenged with, look for that one person this year in 2019. If you're free in the Lord, it would be cool that somebody else find that freedom too, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Stand on our feet, close in prayer. But Father, I am so grateful that I am so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ. I am grateful, Lord, for the body of Christ that is here today. Father, thank you for this new time in life. Thank you for this new day. And we do receive it, Lord, as a gift. Father, I thank you that no one here today will waste this day, but will use it to advance your kingdom, Father. I just thank you that you speak to us in our quiet time and in the busy. I thank you, Father, that you've given us the ability to quiet the noise of the world around us so that we may hear you more clearly. I pray, God, in this new year, 2019, that we'd be able to see more clearly the way you do. I thank you, Lord, that you protect the innocence of all the children, Father God, and that, Lord, you do not lead any into temptation. But, Father, you deliver us from it all. Father, I thank you right now for blessing the body of Christ here today and those listening. I ask, Lord, that this would be a year, Father, filled with fruit, filled with prosperity, and filled with health, Father God. I thank you for wisdom, which is applying your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you loved us first so that we may learn how to love. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, you can come up for prayer.